go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome in to another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, site manager for Second City Hockey. You can find me on Twitter at DMelton57. We took a little bit of a break there to partially because we were kind of sick of talking about the same old stuff all the time, and there was an all-star break. So, but we're back now. I've got all my usual line mates with me to talk about all the fun things that have been happening with the Chicago Blackhawks recently. Up first, the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, you can find on Twitter at Shepherd Price, and probably summoning whatever divine intervention they can muster to get Marc-Andre Fleury to change his mind about Vegas. It is Shea Price.
Well, okay. The thing was, he never wanted to leave Vegas. So I don't know if we need to get him to change his mind. First of all, second of all, what fun things with the Blackhawks. They won. They won on Monday, but that was what the most boring game I've ever seen of hockey. And three. Speaking of fun things outside of the world of hockey, Limitless Keith Lee and Adam Hangman Page are now in the same wrestling company. No other wrestling company exists. There is only AEW.
Well, you have plenty of time to watch them after Leonard spits the bit in the first round and Vegas goes home early again.
Leonard is hurt, sir.
Well,
which is why Vegas is going to acquire Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah,
because the entire season, like all these insiders have been like, well, he'll waive for one of two teams, Pittsburgh or Vegas. So if Vegas wants him and he's willing to go to Vegas, then we need to get him. Golden Knights need him.
All right, we're gonna come back to this in a second because we have plenty of trade stuff to get to. But you mentioned one other person on this panel who might be very excited about the Keith Lee news, so we might as well bring him in now. And he is the Second City Hockey, what Noel Gallagher was to Oasis, and you can find him on Twitter at Mill182. It's Mill Savage.
Have you heard the good news?
No, I haven't.
DeMar DeRozan.
Oh no, that is good news.
I am very glad that you mentioned Noel and not Liam, because my brother and I draw that comparison all the time of we're the metal versions of Oasis, except for I will probably never beat the shit out of him with a cricket paddle. So I love him more than that. So
that's also very kind of you to not assault your brother with a cricket paddle.
The Gallagher brothers are crazy, but I have seen Noel Gallagher live. It was fucking incredible. I got hammered and like cried my eyes out when he played four Oasis songs.
As you do when you watch Oasis.
Look, I'm a big.
I hope you don't look back in anger on that night.
I don't even mind that pun, Dave. I'm a fucking giant Oasis mark, and I don't care like if people make fun of me for that. I'm a huge fan. So
I have nothing other than the fact that the two brothers are crazy. They have plenty of enjoyable music, and I listen to it somewhat regularly.
Well, I have two gripes with them. Number one, it has nothing to do with them. The first one is that people made a meme out of like, oh, here's Wonderwall. Wonderwall's not like a super nobody learns that when they start learning guitar. That's like a really complicated Beatles chord progression that like nobody uses. And number two, they like Man City, so fuck that.
I can wholeheartedly agree on the second part.
At least you and I can agree on that.
Yeah, there you go. And that was your music minute with Milsavage. Let's bring in our last line mate for this evening. She's been quiet for far too long, so we need to get her in here. She is Second City Hockey's Boolean Wall of Text. You can't find her on Twitter, but she is at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. It's Betsy.
I started muting in y'all's intros because I interject too much in general and I ramble too much. So I was like, this is a good time to not like let other people shine and not be an interruptive person, because that's my personality.
Well, we were hoping for a lot of rambling tonight before we have to get to back to talking about the Blackhawks anymore. So if you have any opening ballads or monologues you want to get off your chest at the moment, I mean, feel free. I'm sure you want to break down everything that happened in the Super Bowl Sunday night, right?
I watched the halftime show.
And what'd you think about it? Because I enjoyed it immensely.
It was awesome.
I think great. That's really good. Right? It's up there with the best.
It's so good.
Everybody, I feel like the people whose music opinions I respect always put the Prince one on top.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just, that was during the Bears Super Bowl game. So I was outside like pacing the street. So I didn't watch a second of it because I was, so I think if the Bears make the Super Bowl again, which will probably never happen, but if they do, I need it to be like someone I don't care about performing. Like, I don't know, throw Taylor Swift.
Imagine Dragons.
Go right ahead. Yeah. Imagine Dragons. Fine. Put Nickelback up there. I don't give a
shit. Imagine Dragons, the most generic band. Like, here, yeah, have this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have this. I'm going to go, pace back and forth and figure out how Justin Fields is going to lead the second half comeback so the Bears can win a Super Bowl.
When's the last time there was like a bad Super Bowl?
Every year besides this year in Prince.
Well, no, last year was good with Shakira and J-Lo.
Springsteen.
But they didn't perform though. They danced. It was all backtrack. This is like the first year I can remember they didn't have backtrack vocals.
Well, that's because they're also not singing. They're rapping. Like, other than Mary, you know, like they're, it was a lot of rap, so I mean, it's not.
Yeah, but not, I mean, like you gotta let them sing.
So they don't let them sing at those things, like even.
Right, that's why I'm mad. Because like they get people who are great singers, and they're like, don't sing.
I don't know. I really enjoyed. I even enjoyed Katy Perry. Katy Perry's one, Gaga's was good. I mean, I haven't disliked any. Some of the other ones, Beyonce's was really top notch to me. Like
Coldplay only because of Beyonce and Bruno.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I don't think there's been like a subpar one. There have been ones that are better. Like this one, I think is really good. I think Beyonce's might have been a little bit better to me, but that's just because I like Beyonce's music better. But yeah, it's really, really high up there.
Rhetorical question to the world: when are we getting Taylor's fucking halftime show?
Well, I think they're it seems like they're kind of going towards people who are old enough to be nostalgia acts. Cause I think like someone had that tweet about like you made fun of the Super Bowl for having halftime shows for old people when it was the Rolling Stones and Bruce Springsteen, and now they have Dr. Dre and Snoop, and then think about it, or like basically that if you're familiar with his music, you're also old now. So
you know what that means, Dave. When Blink goes, you guys will see me on TV crowd surfing.
Yeah. So I'd say maybe in 10 more years you can get your Taylor Swift one. And you know, again, during Justin Fields' MVP performance.
I really don't think Taylor Swift will be a nostalgia act in 10 years. I think it'll be more like 25 years. She'll probably keep being like I don't think she'll be knocked off yet. People are too into her. Because young people are into her.
There's talk within the community that like she like I'd believe talk. It if she gets married she like steps away from music for like a long time and just focuses on like family.
That's fair.
All right, enough. I'm just saying
we've already had more Taylor Swift conversation on this podcast than I would ever allow. So
I want you guys to know that was the weekend last time? Like, did I?
Yes, it was the weekend last time.
Oh, okay, there you go. There's one. And I like the weekends.
But that was like a video-esque thing because of COVID.
I know, exactly.
I could not remember where I even watched the last Super Bowl because I was at a friend's house that I usually go to for the Super Bowl, but they didn't have the party a year ago for obvious reasons. I cannot remember. I barely even remembered who was in the damn game. So.
Well, before I go too off the rails on this, I was going to say, Dave, if you want a segue, I got a good segue.
Go ahead.
We're talking about nostalgia acts, so why don't we talk about the Hawks?
And Marc-Andre Fleury going to Vegas, is that a nostalgia act?
Marc-Andre Fleury is still awesome, so I don't know about that.
All right, so the big chatter in Blackhawk circles the last few days has been revolving around Brandon Hagel, and it kind of started because of reports from Frank Saravelli at the Daily Faceoff. This was apparently during their daily show that it gets put up on Twitter. I'm going to read this from over at the Bleacher Nation people. Shout out to Mario, who does who writes a lot of stuff for them. But I'm trying to find the part specifically about Hagel because it got into what the Blackhawks have been offered for him. And apparently, according to the report from Frank Saravelli, is that they have been offered a first round pick and a prospect for Brandon Hagel, which seemed like a lot. So I just want to kind of go around the room. Oh, and the other part of that is the Blackhawks turned it down because apparently they don't want to trade Hagel. But obviously, with a month till the trade deadline, that is certainly subject to change. So, Shay, I'll swing it around to you first. Just your thoughts on that that proposal and the value and everything else involving that possible trade. Other than the heavy sigh.
I'd take it with more context. What's the team and who's the prospect? Yes.
That is neither of those have been reported. So,
yeah.
And I heard Betsy's quiet thumbs up in the background there.
Cause like if it's the Blues, no, but if it's like a Florida or like New York Rangers,
the Canes, maybe, the Wild, the Bruins.
Maybe. Well, yeah. It's going to be a pick between 16 and 32, most likely, because it's going to be one of the teams in playoff contention.
The Blackhawks need another first round pick because they might have made the mistake of trading the third, like the fifth overall pick or the eighth overall pick for Seth Jones.
So I
like Brandon Hagel is really good and was noticeably one of the very good players against Winnipeg in a very boring game on Monday. So don't get me wrong. Like, I think he's very worthwhile and he's still really young. And he'll be capable of doing a lot of good things.
Yeah, I think he's going to be 24 in like a month. So, yeah, still very young.
Yeah, it's just like there's been talk that like Alex DeBrincat might be like 30 when the Blackhawks are good again. Like
I know. Yeah.
Do we want 31-year-old Brandon Hagel being one of the veterans on this team? Maybe he puts in the work.
Yeah,
if he can stay healthy.
And I think any sort of trade talks and proposals and all that kind of have to be taken with a grain of salt at the moment because the Hawks are, you know, interviewing and about to hire a GM hopefully in the next week or two. And I think the all these trade rumors and such that are emerging hopefully expedites that process just a little bit so they get someone in here that can make decisions with both the short and long-term in mind, because that would seem to be very important. But I want to bring in Betsy because I know from her reaction that she has some thoughts on this. So I'll let her have the floor.
My opinion is it 100% depends on the prospect. A most likely later, like you're right, it's going to be 16 to 30, but like feel like usually these types of things end up being, at least for the Blackhawks, like for Hartman's, trade ended up being later. So those are low probability picks. Okay. Like that's just a fact. You would be better off getting like two high seconds than a late, like a bottom 10 first, probability wise. So you're essentially trading a proven middle six player that puts up second line production strongly. Like he's had two seasons now of it and then does every other little thing that you want. I feel like you should be able to get more than a late first, but it depends on what that prospect is. Because if the prospect is somebody like Edsel, no, fuck that. He stopped. But
no more Victor Edsel. I got it.
Right. I mean, but it really depends. I would prefer if they don't give me a first, just say, I want whatever who's your top prospect? Like would the Wild, if they think they could be it this year, would they give up like Rossi for him? I don't know.
Give us Callan Addison.
Yeah. I mean, yes. The Canes, would they give up Jarvis for him? I mean, he's supposedly been slightly, I mean, I know he's been playing for them a little bit, but he's still considered a prospect. And I don't know, would the Bruins give up Lysell since they're like, this might be their last year with their core? I mean, would the Flames thinking that they've like clicked, would they give up Zeri, like Connor Zeri? Like, ooh, if it's somebody like that, I don't even care about the first. I would take that prospect. But if it's the first and like a B level or C level prospect, then no, I don't think it's worth that. You might be able to get more for Hagel later.
Yeah, that's, and what you said there is kind of one thought that's been, because the general consensus on all the Blackhawks themed Twitter accounts I follow was like, you know, if someone's offering a first round pick and a prospect, it'd be hard to say no. But I guess like, it's just, it's a hard, like you said, there is some context there. Like if it's a throwaway prospect, you know, whatever, but I don't know. Like, let's say hypothetically, it was like a second round draft pick and a Philip Deneau level prospect. Like, would that be a decent return for you? Cause I was replaying some of the trades the Blackhawks made at the deadline that, to pick up some veteran players or just to add pieces before the deadline. And I was looking back at what they gave up, and now the Hawks are on the other side of this coin. So now it's like, what can they get for some of the players that, like, you know, when they traded away Philip Deneau and a second round pick to Montreal for Thomas Fleischmann and Dale Weiss, we all know how that turned out.
Yeah.
But just like that's the
I
idea.
I would totally do something like that if it was a Deneau type of prospect. But yes. Because again, you guys know, I hate this whole, like, it's a first round pick. You guys know my feelings on that. First round picks are not created equal, and they have the largest out of any round of disconnect between top and level. Like, literally just going two or three spots all the way down to like when you hit like 2021 is a huge difference in probability. It only starts to stagnate towards the back end of it. So sitting there saying they need a, like, they, it would be great if they could get a first round pick, but people being like, they're not created equally. So getting a first round pick is not like, that's just not like the best thing you could get unless it ends up, which team is it? Do you think they're going to get knocked out really quickly? You might luck out and get the 16th, which in a deep draft could be something really good. And if your GM picks well, but no, I would rather them lean into prospects and then the pick actually be a slightly lower quality. And if, I mean, that second pick actually isn't going to be that much different in probability and value anyway. So, yeah.
And usually what happens at the deadline is like a few trades happen that kind of set the market and then everyone works from there. And I guess one trade that just happened was Tyler Toffoli going from Montreal to Calgary and in return for Tyler Pitlick, who I believe is like a bottom pairing defensive guy, forward prospect Emil Heinemann, who I know nothing about, a first round pick in the 2022 draft and a fifth round pick in 2023. That first round pick with Calgary is probably going to be what, late teens, early 20s, unless they go on a crazy run in the postseason. So
that's a first round pick and then a BC level prospect with a fifth round pick thrown in. That is the Hartman trade. That is, except that Edschel really should have been rated like a DF again. Like he was, I don't know. But anyway, the Nashville Predators rated him highly as a BC like mix. Maybe could be a bottom pairing guy or a bottom six kind of guy. That's the same way that trade right there. I would not, that's not great, but Tyler Toffoli is a completely different player. He's much older. I think he's got one, I can't remember if he has 1 year left on his deal. Brendan Hagel is much younger and has two more years on his deal at a very reasonable cap hit.
And he'll still be a restricted free agent after that contract's up, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he's, and while he's putting up really solid production, it's not production enough that he's going to be reaching for the stars unless he breaks out, at which point you can always flip him for more, or maybe that helps the Blackhawks turn it around faster. You don't know. He's just, it would be different if he was one older like Toffoli or on a more expiring contract or something. I just, it really, really depends on who that prospect was and whether or not I would say yay or nay.
First of all, you guys brought up something that I just want to address real quick. So Dale Weiss, I saw him score a goal in person in game 6 against the Blues, and the guy behind me bought me a beer because of that. So I can't really hate on that trade too much.
That's fair.
No, but all seriousness, the Hagel thing for me is weird. Like, Brandon Hagel is a guy who on a Hawks contender, you know, like, look at the championship teams. I would have loved him. All right. And I like him very much now, but he is a guy that you need on your bottom six when you're trying to win a cup. And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, if you can't get what he's worth, then don't trade him. But if you're going to get a first round pick and like you said, a top level prospect, then you have to trade him. And to me, the way I see it personally is I think the Hawks are looking at it going, well, we lost all these kind of guys when we didn't have cap room, and now we don't have to lose them. So we're just going to keep him. And that's fine. But it's like, they might not do anything while he's here. So it's kind of a catch 22 to me.
Yeah, I think the point that Betsy made about his contract status of him having – of Hagel having two more seasons, that makes it – makes me more hesitant to trade him now. Like, I'm not I think I said that – I was talking about this a few weeks ago about just having – would like to see what this team looks like with good coaching. So if you have Brandon Hagel and a cost-controlled salary cap for another season, I mean, I feel like the odds of his value tanking – with a horrible season are pretty slim, because the way he plays, he's been very consistent in the two seasons he's been with Chicago. So it feels like it'd be maybe a touch premature unless you get a deal that blows your doors off. Like that's, I'm not going to call Brandon Hagel untouchable, but the other side of the coin is they don't really have another Brandon Hagel in the system right now.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. I'm just saying, to me, Brandon Hagel is a good player. He's the type of guy you need on a deep team, but he's not like a top six, like, untouchable guy.
Brandon Hagel's a barometer guy, I think. And what I mean by that is he kind of tells you how good your team is. That if he's playing in your top six with any sort of consistency or regularity, that means your team's probably not that good. But if he's down in like the third and fourth line for the most part of the season, it means you probably have enough forward depth to put him down there. And that means your team is overall probably pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. And I just want to come across like, I don't want to come across like, oh, I dislike, you know, Brandon Hagel. Like, I like him. It's just, I don't know. I think it's the Hawks are in such a stupid position right now as an organization. That it's like, look, if you're going to get a great deal, yeah, take it. If not, keep him for a while you have under control just to see. But you have to take, if it's an amazing offer, you have to take it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I we'll see how the market plays out over the next month, but immediately jumping on the trade because it seems like a halfway decent return right now would feel slightly premature. Unless someone gives you a top 10 prospect, like
right, and I would wait till closer to the deadline too.
Right, Brandon Hagel is a faster, more modernized Andrew Shaw, and unless somebody's going to give you Alex DeBrincat, you can't really move him.
Well, yeah, because of the second round pick from the Andrew Shaw trade turned into Alex DeBrincat. So, and
that was a better value pick, getting two sec because Shaw got 2 seconds. That was a better value pick, with a higher chance than a first round pick.
But also keep in mind that was because Andrew Shaw wanted $4.5 million.
Brandon Hagel's what I want to be paid, and so do I.
Yeah, but like there was supposedly at the time there was somebody who was going to give a late first round pick for him, and instead they went with Montreal for the 2 seconds, which quantity.
Right? No. Yeah, I don't disagree. All I'm saying is Brandon Hagel's contract's not up.
Oh yeah, exactly. That's why my whole thing with Bowman for the last however many trades he did that were bad was that his timing was poor. Yeah. He traded Panarin too soon. He traded Saad too soon. Like, he just didn't wait Saad out. He just was like, okay, I'm not going to try this. And then Panarin went too quickly. And all of these things contributed to those being bad trades. He traded Dano too soon, you know, like
yeah.
Those are things that the timing of it was not great. Like, and I think the Hagel one is the same way. If you trade him now, it's almost like you haven't gotten him at the highest value he probably could provide.
No, I agree with that. My point with the Shaw comparison is like, it's not, I understand the comparison. It's just Andrew Shaw built up his stock here. Like, mm-hmm. and like Betsy, like you said, we kind of, okay, like here's what he is. Like you kind of got enough time to prove it. So then he's like, look, I'm getting married. He has kids now, whatever. He had to get his money. That's just the life, the realistic aspect of it. Brandon Hagel's not there yet, and they probably aren't going to get the maximum trade value for him yet, like you said, because we don't, you know, we haven't seen him at his best, we're assuming. So I would probably hold on to him, but I said, unless you get some amazing deal, because I just don't think, and like from now until his contract's up, I just don't think the Hawks are going to be in it to win it.
Yeah.
So to speak.
You've got so many guys like on expiring contracts, like Calvin DeHonson's like a logical one to head out the door, and you know, like Caleb Jones, if you find a buyer for him, or some of the other guys, Dominic Kubalik's on an expiring deal. Like some of those guys are seem to make more sense in that aspect, but having Hagel for two more years at as you guys said, was a pretty affordable cap hit. Like it's just make sure it's a good deal. I guess would be, which is what you wouldn't do with everyone, but you know, when you're trading away a pretty decent NHL proven commodity.
Yeah. That's not a rental, and the new team doesn't have to negotiate with him for at least another two years.
And just to throw something out there before we're, you know, like hit our break, like, for what it's worth, that was a smart deal to sign because it was pretty cheap. And it's like, hey, if he ends up like we need to trade him, we could probably get something for him. If he ends up not being that good, we didn't spend that much.
Yeah. They have the Hawks, from a Blackhawks perspective, they're in a very good position with Brandon Hagel. So if they're going to trade him, they need a very good return for him. So that's something to watch over the next few weeks. I guess that's I enjoyed this conversation because it's like the initial like picking a prospect thing, like I like a first round pick and a really good prospect would be a good return, I think. But there's some context there that you can't summarize in Twitter that I felt like we'd get into more. So I was glad that worked out. But we're going to take a quick break, fix some technical difficulties we had for a moment there that hopefully no one heard. And then we're going to come back and talk about some more stuff. Maybe Blackhawks related, maybe not, but come back on the other side of this break and find out what that all is.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smart Food, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison. And as promised before the break, I wanted to dive into a few other Blackhawks topics and maybe a few not Blackhawks topics. But just really quickly, because as everyone here probably knows, Shay also writes for Knights on Ice, the SB Nation blog for the Vegas Golden Knights. And with Robin Lehner's recent injury, there's an obvious goalie reunion that I'm sure plenty of people in the Vegas fan base are clamoring for. So, Shay, if you wanted to light some candles or whatever, or you know, verbally light some candles or whatever, things you can summon to get Marc-Andre Fleury to change his mind or whatever, go ahead.
I wrote for Knights on Ice. I left in June when I got the job I have now, and during the day I am out of time. I have time for this and not a lot else.
Well, anyway, for Keith Lee, baby.
That's right. The Golden Knights need a goaltender. And I think Marc-Andre Fleury is a person who likes the places he's played. Again, I don't think he wanted to be traded from the place from Vegas in the first place.
No, I would agree with you because the way he like took 3 or 4 days to
To decide if he wanted to play hockey anymore.
The trade essentially, yeah.
Yeah. Like if he'd be willing to come back to Vegas, they need him. Robin Leonard's hurt apparently and might be done for the season. Vegas, like this is arguably our best chance at the cup, and we've gone far deep into the playoffs the last few years. Like they need a goaltender to get them there, and like they know Fleury, they trust Fleury. The defense can build like work around Fleury. Fleury's playing really well again.
So Jack Eichel can't play goalie.
Jack Eichel cannot play goaltender. We need him to be the first line center that they've never had. Yeah, like we're so close now that like a mark, like the Vegas Golden Knights are arguably a Marc-Andre Fleury away. So Fleury's willing to waive his NMC for Vegas. And Vegas needs to come calling, even if Kelly McCrimmon just denied the rumor, basically meaning that like, yeah, Vegas is working on it.
Now, the real question I have for you is there a really good prospect that the Blackhawks could use from Vegas?
Do you want Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane's agent's son, because you can have Brendan Brisson.
You know I haven't watched a ton of the Olympics, but I believe he's featuring on Team USA pretty heavily. And he was what, top 10 pick? He was up there, if I remember correctly.
Vegas is, I don't think we've ever had a top 10 pick. Oh, we have. His name was Cody Glass, and we traded him very quickly for Nolan Patrick.
Yeah, sorry, Brendan Brisson was a 29th overall, so I was close. Sure, why not? Yeah, I mean, just I think if they trade Fleury, you want to get a really good prospect in return. A Vegas
a really good prospect named Michael Hakkarainen.
No, thanks. All right, I thought I heard Betsy chime in for a second, but moving along, now that we're going to come back to the Blackhawks, Betsy Mill, I'll ask either one of you anything that stood out from the last 2 weeks of Blackhawk games that had kind of the full range of emotions. Some were good, some were awful, some were fun to watch, some were absolutely not. And all in all, I think since we last talked, they won 2 of 3. So start the parade again.
When did we last talk?
The last time we talked was the day after the Rocky Wirtz tirade. So it was also that night they got destroyed by the Wild 5-0. Since then, the Hawks have beaten the Oilers 4-1. They lost to the Blues 5-1. And then last night, or Monday night, if you're depending on when you're listening to this, they beat the Jets 3-1.
Yeah, the only one of those games that was like good to watch was Edmonton, and Edmonton's not a very good team. So like that one was like entertaining to watch, but like Shea said earlier, the Winnipeg game was so boring despite the win. And then the St. Louis game was also kind of boring, even though they really shouldn't have gotten beat up that bad, because again, St. Louis isn't that great a team either. They are a PDO machine. So
and mainly because Billy Huso's playing out of his mind right now, because Jordan Binnington sucks now, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll be the Fleury effect where at least they have one goalie that works at one time. I feel like that's how it is on Fleury, like every team Fleury goes to. Right when he was at the Pens and Matt Murray was coming in, it was like up and down. Whenever Fleury was down, Matt Murray was up.
So, yeah, there you go.
But other than that, there wasn't a whole lot to take away from it, other than Dylan Strome looked great in most of the games, or one of the better players. Hagel looked good in them. Kane still looks good. And then DeBrincat is obviously a star. That's it.
And future general manager Patrick Kane's doing everything he can to make the Hawks not trade away Dylan Strome.
Oh, my gosh. He must be like – I wonder if he's getting like flashbacks to like Panarin, and because I feel like every time Kane get, like, we always used to joke that he used to shuffle around so much that he didn't have like even consistent line mates. And then when he finally got one, they traded him away after two seasons. And he's like, okay, I need to bring Kitten Strom to stay here. Those are my buddies. Those are my guys. And also it's just a bad time to trade Strom anyway.
Yeah. He would like someone to remain his teammate and like develop some chemistry with, I think is the general thought there.
Yeah, because it was Schmaltz was the same way. He hit it off with him too. So unless you want Patrick Kane to go into the arms of Panarin or go to the Islanders to join, oh my God, blanking on the kid on the Islanders who's super fast, starts with a B.
Barzal?
Yes, there you go. Because Patrick Kane writes sonnets about that kid, like.
Elliot Friedman mentioned this in his 32 Thoughts today that like he thought it was interesting that Patrick Kane said all the things he said to kind of like stumping to keep Dylan Strome around, and he wondered if there's a thought in the back of Patrick Kane's mind if somehow this is related to the fact that he's an unrestricted free agent next season or after next season, and whether or not how they handle Dylan Strome will have an effect on those contract negotiations, which I think is a fair conclusion to draw.
Yeah, and the thing about Patrick Kane is that he could theoretically make the Hawks, because people talk about trading him all the time, but again, he completely controls his fate. So if he doesn't want to move until he's a free agent and then decides I want to pick then he can make it so the Hawks get nothing for him. So keeping him happy is good in general, because maybe you want your franchise player to stay, but also if you ever do want to trade him, maybe don't piss him off so that he says, no, I only want to go to this one team and you get.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's that part of it as well. I didn't think about that. Mill, what about you? Any thoughts from the last handful of games?
You know what? It's funny. Cause speaking of Patrick Kane, like his voice, he said something and Kevin Weeks was kind of talking about it on NHL Network last night.
Yes. Yes, he was. That's where else I heard comments related to this.
Yeah. He was saying, you know, like, he kind of said it in a way where he wasn't trying. It didn't come off as shitty, but it was like, hey, like maybe the front office should listen to the players more because we play and we know what we're doing. And you know what? For once, I have to agree with Patrick Kane, only because look at the Hawks the past few years. It's like, and we talk about it too, you know, week in and week out. It's like, why isn't Strome playing more? Why is this guy getting minutes, or why aren't they doing this? And it's like, you think that the players would recognize a lot of that. So to me, it's like, I think they need to have a GM who, even if they're not the hockey person, they have to at least listen to the hockey
people. Yeah, I think that's it, Bill. Like, I you don't want your players to be running the organization through like telling the GM what to do, but I think any GM who's worth his salt is going to at least take input from especially a player of Patrick Kane's stature or Jonathan Taves' stature, or like if Duncan Keith was still around, like those guys have been in the league for 10, 15 years and they have a pretty good view of things from down on the ice.
Yeah. And if you remember back when they traded, when they didn't want to keep Crawford and they traded Saad and all this stuff happened, Taves was vocally like pissed.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong. Look, I don't want them to be the current day Lakers where LeBron's like, sign all my homies, and then they suck because it's not like the right, like,
hey,
you know,
don't come for Russ just because he can't jump anymore.
No. I'm not coming for Russ or for anybody on the team. They're all great. LeBron, though. I'm not coming for LeBron. They're all great players in their own right. However, that doesn't mean you're going to be a great team.
Yeah, you can't just at some point you can't just like assemble talent. You do have to have like pieces that work together in some
way. Right. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying it's like I don't want you to sign all Kane's friends because he knows hockey. I'm saying like when you lose so many games because your team is lacking and there's clearly like the Hawks aren't the Coyotes. There's some talent there, not just Taves and Kane and guys who have been there, but like. You know, you look at the team, like DeBrincat's a star. Kubalik has a lot of potential to be a bigger star, et cetera. It's like, I just think that they need to go forward and have a mindset of like, okay, we're going to have the 50% business, sure, whatever, but we have to have a hockey mindset going forward. And I really think that there was a point where the Hawks kind of, for lack of a better term, fell ass backwards into all these championships, and then they didn't do anything to sustain it.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what direction the organization goes whenever they hire this GM, because I think who they trade and what they get in return might give you an idea of what the long-term plan is for the franchise.
But just remember, it's not the line combos, it's the workout.
Exactly.
I was going to make a joke about, because you were saying the GM let the players run it, and I was going to be like, well, JC handed over the board to them once, so maybe
that's right.
That's because he knew his ass was getting fired.
Hey, speaking of Jeremy Colleton, you guys know he's an assistant coach for Team Canada at the Olympics. So
I don't know, because I don't keep up with Jeremy Colleton or Team Canada. Thank you, Dave.
What about Olympic hockey? Like, I wanted to do a quick talk about the Olympics, because the gold medal game for the women is Wednesday night, USA and Canada, and the men's are in just starting the qualifying rounds there, the bracket play, essentially. I believe there's 8 teams left. And quarterfinals, that's the word I'm looking for.
Bring it home, ladies. Let's go, USA.
Yeah, I think I've developed kind of the same feeling with the United States women's hockey team that I do with the women's soccer team. It's that when they are playing,
you rule.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. But also, like, when they're playing Canada or their really big rivals, it's a really fun game to watch. But anything else, it's kind of boring because it's just so one-sided. So, and this was the inevitable game. Everybody assumed it was going to be USA and Canada at the end. It'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to yell at Canadians for 2 and 3 hours.
You know what, Dave? I have to disagree with you. I will never get bored watching Alex Morgan.
That's fair. Betsy Shea, have either one of you watched the Olympics at all?
I'm going to be watching the women's gold medal game, because that's the main event of the Winter Olympics for me.
So you don't watch them play in the preliminary rounds?
It's a foregone conclusion on who's going to make it to the gold medal game.
Right. Yeah. This is my problem. But what about the men's games? Have you watched any of those?
Why? It's not best against the best.
Yeah. That is kind of the issue that I also have. Betsy, what about you?
I watched some of the men's because Canada has and the U.S. both have young players on it that I find interesting. Mm-hmm. The U.S. sent almost completely kids, you know, like, and Canada has both Owen Power and why am I blanking on the other kid McTavish. And I love McTavish, so I'm like excited to see them play. And it's, they've got some former old dudes like Eric Stahl and stuff, but former old dudes, Eric Stahl.
Oh, Eric, shout out Eric Stahl though.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I didn't realize he was on the roster until I turned on the game. I'm like, oh, God, captain. That's a Stahl brother. Yeah. Well,
he's holy fucking good. Shit.
Yeah.
Not hockey related, but the Celtics just won by 48 points against Philadelphia. Wow.
Oh, well, they're going to lose to the Bulls whenever they see them in the postseason.
Yeah. Because DeMar is going to score 1,000. Sorry. Anyways, back to hockey.
I was trying to think of other Olympic. Betsy, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that Team USA has, I think, like half or 3/4 of their team are all like kids out of college. That's cool.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention that one of those players is Drew Commesso. Is that it?
Yes.
Commesso?
Yes.
He's a Blackhawks second round pick from a few years ago. He's the goalie for Boston University, but he's currently playing with Team USA. I've been looking just now to see if he's going to be the starting goalie the rest of the way. It doesn't appear that there's been confirmation about that. So I guess you'll have to catch up on the highlights, because the game is later this evening. I think it starts in about an hour. Commesso played games 1 and 3, and then Straussman, I think his name is, played the game in the middle. So it seems like maybe Commesso's the guy, but we'll
I went back and forth on it, because you're right, Commesso played more, but Strauss got the Canada game, which is easily the more, like, even though Canada's team isn't necessarily a favorite, I think technically most people think it's a Russia, Finland, Sweden kind of thing, mostly because those teams have all played with each other, and the U.S. and Canada obviously got hit the hardest with no NHL players going over there.
Yeah. And if you're looking for other Blackhawks ties, it's a lot of former guys. Tomas Hierko is playing for Slovakia.
Sweden.
Sweden's got Marcus Kruger and Joakim Nordstrom. Peter Regan's playing on.
Oh, shout out Dream Warrior.
Yeah. Yeah. There. Artur Kayamov, the guy the Hawks drafted, who will never, ever, ever make it over here, apparently, is playing for Russia or the Russian.
Technically, Anisimov is also on Russia's team. He just hasn't played.
Yeah. He's in COVID protocol in China, which is probably the least ideal COVID protocol to be in.
You know what's funny about like these Olympics and even just like World Games and juniors and stuff is like, aside from Hawks prospects, we're all like, you know, I root for USA because I want the game to grow here. And you guys might agree with me, maybe not. Like when Team USA does good, it's like, oh, that's good for the sport to grow here. But fucking Canada acts like it's World War III. Like they get, it's like, fuck, if they lose, it's like somebody died. It's
whenever the U.S. beats Canada in the World Juniors, men's or women's, especially, well, like, and, it's especially men, like, they go.
And I really like.
They have to have symposiums.
I really like Canada. I've been there a bunch. It's a great country. There's a lot of cool things to do there. I love, you know, all the hockey shit, but I'm just like, yo, it's like, it nobody died. It's okay if you lose. Like, it's gonna happen. Ugh. Anyways, we're Team USA and we're going all the way.
There we go. Perfect ending. All right. I don't have any more Olympic talk. I will probably glance at some of the men's bracket play games as they happen this week. I'll definitely watch the women's game, but it's like, it's only with like a half interest, at least on the men's. The women's one, I'm more interested by the women's game because that's at least the best women's players in the world playing against each other. With the men's, it's not. So it's not quite as thrilling, although.
And the U.S. might have the best women's hockey players in the world.
Yeah, don't.
Got some pretty legit players. No, seriously.
No, yeah, I mean, and one of them is in the Blackhawks front office.
Yes.
There's
one of the fastest women.
Yeah. Yeah. So really quickly, we got a question from the SCH commentary. Actually, it was on Twitter, is BMAC too, but wanted to know if you're hired as the GM in the next month. The question is, who goes at the deadline and for what? I think we kind of talked about the for what a little bit when we called that Brendan Hagel discussion, but just really quickly, I guess there's a few other names here that are like trade candidates. With expiring deals, the biggest name for me is Dominik Kubalík. And I go back and forth, like, it feels like you're kind of selling low on him right now, but if you bring him back on a qualifying offer, it's going to go over $4 million. So I don't know what you do there. Shay, what are your thoughts?
I still really like Dominik Kubalík. I still really like Dominik Kubalík, and I think he's worth a roster spot. It's just like, I don't know what's up, whether it's his shot volume that's just not where it needs to be, or whether it's like he's not playing with teammates who can get him the puck enough, or like it's still like compelling that like he played his best when he's with Taves, and like I don't think he's been with Taves all that much this season, and certainly not recently. So
Betsy, what about you?
It's
a lot of heavy size.
Same feeling. I love Dominik Kubalík's game in a lot of ways. The Blackhawks don't have a player that has the same, like there's not very many of them that have that shot quality that he has, like that release. It's DeBrincat, Kane, and him essentially. And Kane is not, he's more of a, I want to dangle you out of your strap before I shoot kind of guy. Kubalík just has a good, strong shot, and it's just not working for him this season. And I have the same problem with him and Strome. It's like, you're going to be selling low. Strome's gotten better at least, but his value is still like people are going to point at, well, that's just because he's playing with Kane again. Same thing with Kubalík, you know what he can do. So if you trade him now, you're not getting great value. The difference between the two, I think, is that GMs will look at goal scoring as more of something that maybe can come back versus Strom, who is more of a playmaker. So there might be, you might be able to get a GM to bite on the goal scoring quality of Kubalik more readily. His age plays a factor. And like you said, the whole, you have to pay 4.1.
Yeah, he's at 3.7 this year, and the qualifying offer has to be, I believe it's at least 20% higher than the from the year before, based off his games played or age or whatever.
Right.
So that would be, you're adding at least like 740,000 to that. So you're at least 4.4 million.
It's based on the contract. Mm-hmm. The last year's amount, not the cap hit, right? So his base salary for this year was like 4 already. So
the salary was 4. So yeah, you're right. It's even higher. Yeah. So yeah, that's a tough one. Mill, what about you?
You know, the stereotypical Libran in me says break out the scales with Kubalik. It's like, hey, what's the value? No, but seriously, it's like, are we going to pay this guy $4 million and lose out? I like Kubalik a ton, like everyone else has said, but I think you have to look at what's available. And to me right now, I think keeping him is probably the better bet. I think with the Hawks, they have to look to be young, you know, Taves and Kane aside. If they really think they can win in the next, like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years, they really have to be young and to have cost control. And I think that that's what they're going to have to look at long-term. So if someone wants to trade for Kubalik, I think you have to weigh the deal and say, well, what's the value here for us? So to me, I think if it fits in their window of like where we're planning to succeed in their price range, good. But to me right now with Kubalik, I think you keep him.
Yeah, I think I'm more on the side of keeping him. It's similar to Hegel. If you get a really good offer, take it. But
right, but the thing with Kubalik, upset
if Dominic Kubalik was back on the Blackhawks next year, even at $4 million. Like,
also, I agree. But also with the right coach and the right line mates, he might be way more worth the $4 million.
That's the same principle I'm applying to a lot of other guys. Like, let me see what he looks like with a good NHL coach.
Because you know how much Q would like to have him on a wing just firing off shots like Sharp used to? Like, yeah. I'm not comparing him to Patrick Sharp, but I'm just saying, like, the scoring-wise, just being right there ready to tee it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not as worried about the salary cap situation either with this team for next year, because you're going to have, you know, Lucas Reichel's probably going to be up here. He'll be under $1 million. There's plenty of other, you know, maybe Ian Mitchell makes the leap and stays up. Maybe Bodan does. Those are guys on entry-level deals that are really low cap hits that you can afford pretty easily. And that'll offset any issues you have with the higher cap hits of the Taves and Kane and Seth Jones contracts. So I'm not, I for $4 million, like for a one-year qualifying offer, a kind of a prove it type of thing. Yeah, sure. Why not? Maybe. So the other name that, and I think we talked about him 2 weeks ago when we did our last show, but Ryan Carpenter's on an expiring contract and he's 31 years old. And I think Ryan Carpenter's a very good fourth line player and a legitimate NHL quality type of guy, type of player. But I feel like the Hawks should be able to replace him if they trade him this year. So that could be another like depth piece that a team needs, and maybe you get a decent mid to late round pick for him. But outside of that, like a Blackhawks like fire sale here, I don't think is coming. So it's going to be, if you have any high expectations for the Blackhawks trade deadline, I think you might want to temper those a little bit, because I think it's going to be pretty tame. At least that's my thought. Am I crazy?
No, I'm with you. I don't think that they're going to do much of anything at all, because while they're not Arizona, it looks like they are in the sense they're not going to into next year, and they're not a playoff team. So it's like, why bother?
Yeah, their stadium's certainly bigger. That's all I got.
Hey, you know what? That Arizona stadium packed might be a great time.
Yeah, I think a packed 5,000 seat stadium would be better than a majority empty 20,000 seater, but still,
you've covered those games in high school sports. Yeah,
still not a great look for the league, though. But
no, it's a terrible look for the league. But I want to be there.
All right. So when we rejoin some point next week, the Hawks After being on the road for three games, their next six games are all in Chicago. They got Thursday against Columbus, Friday against Dallas, Sunday against Florida, 4 days off, probably a symptom of the Olympic break that was supposed to be there, and then next Friday against New Jersey, next Sunday against St. Louis, and then in the March. And yeah, that too. I think that's going to do it for the hockey portion of this. So again, as the best food-themed hockey podcast on the internet, we wanted to get into a food take here, and I think the way this is going to work is Shay had something that they wanted to talk about, and Shay, we're just going to let you go, and then we're going to go from there. So Shay, have at it.
Okay. I think the take originally started that, like, ketchup on hot dogs is good.
Well,
it's good. It's no, people shouldn't mind it. If you like it, you like it.
I think the word I would use is fine.
Like, I'll say this. My favorite ketchup, my favorite hot dog dressings are ketchup and hot sauce.
Okay. Yeah. I think my issue
is I respect that.
It's when you put, like, it's when you have like the Chicago style hot dog with like a mountain of stuff on it and then you put ketchup on it. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? But if you just have like a plain stadium hot dog and you put ketchup on it, you know, go to town. I don't care. That's not offensive.
You can do the classic like ketchup and mustard.
Exactly. Yeah. Ketchup, mustard, and relish. Sauce.
Zach, would you put ketchup on a like chili dog?
No.
There's already tomato on in there because
of the Wait, hang on. Betsy, do you put ketchup on a chili
dog? I do not, but I have 100% seen that at like what used to be the Turner Stadium down here.
Those people might be serial killers, so I would stay away from them.
Well, they're mad about 4 out of 5 World Series.
Yeah. Shay, please continue with your ketchup.
And we've done a previous food take where we talked about ketchup on eggs. I'm the only defender of ketchup on eggs here. And my favorite chef is a ketchup on eggs person. So that makes me feel better. But I think Dave wants to talk about, like, are we going into like too much ketchup on everything? Like,
here's my thing. I think ketchup is for, And I don't know how to phrase this without it sounding like I'm insulting Shay, so I'm going to apologize up front for this. I don't know how to say it any better. I feel like ketchup is for children and people with boring food palates because it's so, like, ketchup overtakes like just about anything you put it on. So I feel like if you're still putting ketchup on things as adult, either you're eating things that aren't good to begin with, or you're just kind of taking the lazy way out. And I feel like you need to, like, you as just the general you, not Shay specifically, like, you deserve better than ketchup. There's so many better condiments out there than ketchup. I can't even say the word, but there's better things out there than ketchup. Please just explore the space. There's a lot of space out there.
Right. I will say, I am still a grown child. I'm just a grown child. I'm a grown child. But my favorite, like, I'm like, ketchup is not my favorite condiment. I'm a Grey Poupon person. I have a plenty complicated palate. I just like, sometimes you like Old Reliable, and Old Reliable is ketchup.
Yeah. I guess
I'm also a spicy ketchup person more than I am.
That's better than just like plain ketchup, but
I agree with Patrick Mahomes's take. Not on steak. He puts ketchup on steak and that's insane. A good burger with ketchup on it, like spicy ketchup. Yeah.
Okay. I'm more intrigued by the Grey Poupon revelation. Like, that came out of left field. I did not expect that.
I have to defend my palate.
No,
okay. I do a decent palate.
Mill, I know you were talking a lot about being big into dips recently. So I need you to offer any of your rebuttals or comments to Shay's stance on ketchup.
Okay, so first I'll say shout out to Shay with this, what I'm about to say, but hot dogs are limitless as far as what you can put on top of them. So for me, like, even though I don't eat meat anymore, which I was a big hot dog person my whole life, you can eat the vegan or vegetarian hot dogs or whatever, they taste plenty the same. I mean, let's be honest, like, what is a hot dog, right? But for me, it's like kind of a mood thing. Like, you know, chili. I love a chili dog. I love mustard and onions on a hot dog. But for me, ketchup is one of those things where it's like, It's kind of like going to get a beer and you're like, well, I'm at a stadium. Am I going to pay $11 for like a Budweiser and a Bud Light? Or am I going to pay $17 for the IPA? It's like, you know what? A cold Budweiser is fine. Like ketchup is fine. It's not the best condiment. It's not the only one you should have. But I don't think you should ever shit on somebody for having ketchup. Like, it's totally fine. It's not the best thing. It's more of a foundational thing. You can mix it with other things.
Yeah, that was what I was about to say.
And I'll let Betsy go off. I'm just gonna say it's there for a reason. You can have it. It's good. Mix it with other things, but there's no reason to hate on anybody for it.
Yeah, I think ketchup is a great thing that can be mixed with other things to make something that's better than just ketchup by itself. I was thinking about this shrimp pad Thai that I had once that was it was ketchup, fish sauce, sugar and pepper, and I was like, this is not going to be good, and it was delicious. And you know, there's so many, if like you have like meatloafs, for example, the amount of people that make different types of sauces that go on top of those meatloafs that are based on ketchup is just astounding. And it's not,
I have a sudden craving for meatloaf now that with
I know it's like it's such a comfort.
That sounds really good.
It's in like orange chicken and all kind of shit too, teriyaki.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly. So it's like ketchup by itself as a plain condiment has like very specific places it should go, but ketchup as a base to be included with other things to like create something brand new and amazing is A++ to me.
So ketchup should be your gateway condiment is what we're getting.
Yes. I'm going to say this. It's the vanilla of condiments. Vanilla ice cream is a very good flavor, but like it shouldn't, like it's a gateway. And also like once you start adding stuff to it, then it elevates vanilla even further.
That's a great way to put it. Cause you can put like, you can use vanilla as like a sundae base, or you can make a better flavor ice cream out of it.
Right. That's not to say that mustard is chocolate. No.
Yeah. Okay. Although I've been on a big honey mustard kick lately.
Ooh. That's because honey mustard is delicious.
Yeah. If honey mustard's done well, it's up there.
On the it's list. Like honey mustard with pretzels and beers. Like I turn into Homer Simpson.
All right.
Or Chief Wiggum, whatever you prefer, whichever fat guy you prefer.
Well, I'm very much in the Chief Wiggum mode whenever I think about the Blackhawks, because all I can think of is this is going to get worse before it gets better. So
that'll teach the rest of you nuts.
So I think we got somewhere today. Ketchup is vanilla and it's a gateway condiment.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. I think if you're like in your 30s or maybe even 40s and like you're still just only eating ketchup, like you gotta branch out. Like there's better things out there for you. It's okay every once in a while, I guess.
Shout out Heinz Field.
Yeah. You all yins. I have nothing else to add. That was actually
expand your palate. We actually had a conversation
about a food topic and like, I feel like we established something good. So I think that's going to be a good place to end this episode of Musings on Madison. Thank you so much for listening. Shepherd's on Twitter at Shepherd Price. Mills at Mill182. I'm at DMeld57. Betsy's not on Twitter, but you can find her at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. We'll be back next week with a new show. The website will have previews, recaps, and some other stuff to fill the 4 days off we've got coming up next week. And I think that'll do it for this episode. Drew Comesso's not starting tonight. They're going to use the other guy. So that's a bummer. Mm-hmm. I just saw that come across on the tweets. But other than that, maybe Comesso will get pressed into duty and then win Olympic MVP and then be the next goalie of the future for the Hawks. That's my optimistic take for the night. And that's going to do it for this episode. So thanks for everyone for hanging out. We'll talk to you next week.
Spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. the McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.